Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. I've been battling allergies for years now. Let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What's up, gang? Welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius from Shazday. I'm so pumped to have you here with me. Now listen, The Greatness Machine, we're about two things. Number one, people who are living their passions. And number two, those who are creating greatness in the world and doing both of these things despite the odds against them. Each episode, we're going to feature interviews with game changers, business leaders, you know, telling us their origin stories, what made them tick, what got them to where they are now. Why? So it can help you step into your greatness within your life, your business, and your career. Occasionally, you might hear a few solo episodes from myself, moi as I say, as I leverage my 20 years of entrepreneurship as a CEO and founder to help you grow and level up in your journey to scale your life and your business. So come be a fly on the wall, enjoy the conversation, and I'm stoked to have you here with me. What's up, everybody? Welcome to today's episode of The Greatness Machine. I'm doing a rerun, baby. We're doing Chip Conley, one of the best shows. This is an earlier show, so this is back when we were doing live, so there might be some Q&A from the audience, but Chip Conley, what a badass. I love him. Wrote the book Peak, all about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and how you bring that into an organization. TED speaker and founder of MEA, the Modern Elders Academy. We learn all about his, really how he came through all this hardship, running Joie de Vie Hotels, one of the largest boutique hotel firms in the United States, and how he ended up becoming Brian Chesky, the CEO of Airbnb's mentor at Airbnb, and went on from that to start the Modern Elder Academy, which is this awesome, amazing place down in Mexico, where they're really like, it's all about second half of life and how to level up and just really bringing so much value to the world. So one of my favorite episodes, I wanted to bring it back. We're doing some reruns now. Stay tuned. I hope you enjoy it. Guys, welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mershazadeh. And like I said, we have an amazing special guest. I'm fanboying a little bit today because I've been following this man, Mr. Chip Conley, for well over a decade. And I have him here on the show. And I'm so excited to have him and share what he's doing with you guys and the rest of the world. Look, the format of the show is quite simple. We're bringing together people, change makers from all over the world who are living their passions to create greatness. And there's no question that our friend Chip here is nothing short of greatness or passion. With that said, you know, I'd like to do a quick, I always like to do these quick little bios. Do you mind if I jump into yours really quickly here, Chip?
Of course, of course.
Awesome. Well, you guys, look, Chip's a serial entrepreneur, New York Times bestselling author, former head of global hospitality and strategy, and currently advisor to the founders of Airbnb. He's a TED main stage speaker. His TED talk is unbelievable. Hospitality expert and now founder and facilitator of the amazing Modern Elder Academy. And for those of you guys who are not familiar with that, the Modern Elder Academy is the world's first midlife wisdom school dedicated to career and life transition. So I'm so pumped to have you here, Chip. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Darius. I appreciate it and excited to hopefully offer some wisdom and maybe learn something from you as well. I actually think one of my key lessons at Airbnb was I learned as much from Brian as he learned from me. I was Brian Chesky's in-house mentor. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. Let's chop it up. So, you know, I met you, and I doubt if you remember, but it was, you did an EO event. It was in San Francisco. We're both San Franciscans. The reason I picked that song was I saw pictures from the skies of San Francisco yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm doing Bad Moon Rising today because that looked like to me. I couldn't believe it. But now what's funny is you're in Austin right now. Is that correct?
I am. Yes.
So we're both former San Franciscans. You were longer there than I was. And now we are currently Austinites. So greatness travels in packs. So I saw that yesterday. I said, wow, I couldn't believe my eyes. I have a lot of family there and we have friends. And I said, this looks like the apocalypse. It's pretty insane.
Right.
The world we're in right now. But so you've now, if we don't mind going back, you know, you had done a talk, Gabe Luna Ostrowski, who's an old friend.
he had brought you in. He was the learning chair of EO San Francisco that year. This is a while ago, and I was on the board that year. And he brought you in, and we did a talk for us, and it really blew my mind. I was so pumped. I read your book Peak, saw the TED Talk over the years, and I was like, I just think that the way that you've approached business is amazing. And I find myself quoting you and Maslow, and you know, just this idea around business. I'm not exaggerating. I'm serious when I say this. You know, measuring what matters and looking at it from just this different lens. And if you wouldn't mind just like maybe talking a little bit about that for the audience members who maybe haven't been familiar with your work.
Sure. So just a quick background is I started a company called Joie de Vivre, which became the second largest boutique hotelier in the US. Based in San Francisco, we had 52 boutique hotels. Every hotel had its own name. So Joie de Vivre was a sort of soft brand. 46 of those 52 hotels being around the San Francisco Bay Area. And I ran that company for 24 years as the CEO. And during that time, I wrote 3 books, including Peak, based upon using my company as a laboratory for learning. So I'm somebody who loves writing and learning, and I figured, okay, I was giving speeches and people started saying, well, where's your book? And I was like, okay, I'll write a book. And so I've now written 5 books. I sold that company in the Great Recession. It was very clear to me I was no longer the right person to be running that company. I had lost my sense of calling of the work we were doing. And I had a new calling, which was I really wanted to write and speak more. So 2010, I leave the work, I leave Joie de Vivre. And that was a hard thing to do because, you know, you create a baby in your mid-20s and you run it for almost a quarter century. Your full identity is defined by it. Many of your books are related to it. It helped me to see that how you create a great culture and core values are sort of fundamental to a great company. I think culture trumps strategy, as Peter Drucker used to say, I think culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think I the idea of moving on and doing something new is something that's very hard for younger entrepreneurs. But I had a series of things happen around my 46th, 47th, 48th birthdays around that time. And it just was really clear that something was supposed to change. And took a couple years off, started a company called Fest 300, a website dedicated to the 300 best festivals in the world, which is sort of a passion project of mine. I was a founding board member of Burning Man. And so have been very actively involved in Burning Man for 24, 23 years. And so I did that. And then I got a call from the founders of Airbnb, and specifically Brian Chesky, who's the CEO. And he said, we want to democratize hospitality. We've read your book, Peak. We love the whole Peak principles that you espouse in that book. And we want to actually have a company when it grows up that's a lot like Peak, like the Joie de Vivre company you built based upon the Peak principles. And so that was the start of what's been almost an 8-year sojourn with them, taking them from a tiny little tech startup. But when I joined, they had some growth going on for sure. I mean, right. this was not a small company. It was a global company already, but it was small. It only had about 200 employees. So it was not the company grew to 7,500 employees before the layoff this spring of 25% of the workers. So it was a very small company relative to what it's become. And I was the only person in the company with a hospitality background, travel background, and frankly, the only person who'd ever created a company and been an entrepreneur outside of tech. So wow. There were a lot of hats I wore as a result of that, and fascinating journey.
Yeah, that's so cool. And those guys those guys were born out of Y Combinator, I believe. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so they were one of the early Y Combinator success stories. And it was funny, I was following them probably like in 2011, 12, right around the time you got there. Yep. and saw that they were obviously doing the right things. So jumping to this idea that, you know, it's funny what you just said that in 2010, when you decided that you wanted to leave this company that was your baby, that you made that transition. You know, a lot of despite all the hardship of it being tied to your identity, your books, talking about it. I actually just did something very similar. I was the CEO of a company that I had grown from 30 people to about 1,000 people in over a pretty short period of time. It took about 3 years to do that. But I, you know, it's funny as utilizing this principles of peak, and I did that in our company. And for me, it was really leveraging core values as the language for everything we did in the business. And then it became, to your point, the experimentation grounds for a lot of the principles that we use for growth and for scale and for building a superior company from a, you know, from all the different more vanity metrics. But I kind of hit that wall last year and decided that it was time for me to move on. And one of my friends said, oh, you'd like pulled a Michael Jordan, you just like quit at the top. And I just said, it just wasn't right for me anymore. And I'm in this like never, never land now where I'm like, really, it's very uncomfortable. I'm 10 months out. I'm super uncomfortable, man.
So like, let's talk about that because there's a lot of great research on this. And when I say this, I mean not necessarily leaving your profession or your entrepreneurial career or your company, but the idea of transition. So there's really three stages to a transition, and you're in the middle stage right now. So the first stage is saying goodbye to something. The middle stage is being in the messy middle, and we often call, there's a word that we use for this transitional period, which is liminal. To be liminal is to be in limbo, in between two things. And then there's the third stage, which is starting something new. And it's once you sort of get clear that this sort of caterpillar to butterfly journey has a dark, gooey cocoon in the middle, you start to realize, okay, where am I? You know, I'm ending a relationship or a marriage. Where am I? I am moving to Austin. You know, where am I? You know, am I still in the messy middle, or have I gotten to the new thing yet? And so how do we know that this kind of three-stage transition is real? Well, 110 years ago, a guy named Arnold van Gennep, a cultural anthropologist, studied indigenous tribes, and he was able to coin the term rites of passage. Joseph Campbell later wrote The Hero's Journey and a lot of other books about mythology, amplifying that three-stage journey. George Lucas made the Star Wars films based upon Joseph Campbell's work. And now we can look at anything in life and sort of say, okay, transition is a normal thing. There's a beautiful Dan Gilbert TED talk. Dan Gilbert's a Harvard psychologist, which is if you're looking for it on TED, it's about, just look Dan Gilbert, future self. And it basically says people at every age, from age 20 to 80, vastly underestimate how much change or transition is going to happen in their next 10 years. We just don't expect it at any age. And so what we just need to know is transitions and change are part of life. But here's the big and fundamental thing that I'm going to say that you've probably never heard before. There's a big difference between change and transition. Change is circumstantial. It's situational. It means, oh, I got divorced, but I've gotten remarried. But if nothing changed inside of you, if you didn't make a true transition, your landscape of what your life is like may not really change. Right. Similarly, if you move from San Francisco to Austin, but bring all of your old baggage, emotional baggage, and don't have a fresh new approach, then you won't, don't be surprised if you have the same results. Transition is different. So where change is situational and circumstantial, transition is psychological. And it actually requires something happening inside of you. And this is why the caterpillar to butterfly journey is an important one to articulate. That is a transition, not a change. It's a transition because formulaically, even though all of the cells, the imaginal cells and discs that the caterpillar had inside itself were there to create the butterfly, the fact is it went through a wholesale change inside of itself. And if you make that change or that transition inside of yourself, you will find that great things can happen out of that. So for me, I'll look at my journey and then we'll talk about yours in a second. My journey was, I was selling my company. That was the end of something. the messy middle was like not knowing what to do. Yeah, I started this ThinkFest 300 and I wrote a book, but I was a little awkward not having the role or the identity that I used to have, or just how much, you know, my calendar had a lot more space on it. And and that felt, made me feel like I was like, you know, worthless or something, which is so silly, but it that's where I was. And then then I had to start something new, and that was Airbnb. So that was my transition. The messy middle was awkward and uncomfortable, but it was necessary for me to have the growth. So how are you dealing with this, Darius?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think I was very confused at first. And then COVID hit. I was going to take my family and go on sabbatical for the year in Spain. COVID hit, that kind of took that away. And I had written this book last year that's coming out next Tuesday, that it was really like, it's my, you know, like it's 15 years of my life put into this book around how do you do this thing that I find to be really important. You know, how do you build a core value driven organization? And so the book was, I wrote it really quickly and then I just shelved it. Cause I said, I can't put this book out right now. I'm in the middle of this like shit storm. I guess I'm going to be a little vulnerable right now. My brother-in-law passed away right when COVID hit really suddenly. And I don't know what it was. It was very quick. It was like a 3-week thing. He got diagnosed with cancer and he was overseas in right outside Australia visiting their cousin, my wife's cousin. And 3 weeks later he was gone. And I don't know, man, something inside of me was like, you have to make this book really important. It's an important book and you need to like do it. So I got really aggressive about the book. But to your point, for me, I've always been kind of a workaholic and I have two young kids and we're in the house and I just dove right back into working hard. So now I'm in the tug of war, which is, you're just going back to your old self. Like you want to change. I traveled 192 days in 2018 and I looked and I said, I'm never doing that again. But now I'm just locked up, you know, we're being a workaholic. And so now I have an awareness around it, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So it's the book became the drug. Right. And I'm getting through the book launch right now, but, and
you know, so hopefully you're going to have to go back, you know, so I'm now becoming your armchair psychologist, but you know, you're going to have to go back to the roots to sort of see what is it that drives you? What is it that actually, where is the work addiction coming from? Whether it's the distraction factor, often addiction has to do with distraction from something else and often feelings you have. Where is it come? Where is it a self-worth issue? Where is the, the self-worth is coming from? You don't have the self-worth fundamentally because of whatever reason that you would like to have. And so you get it by achieving and you becoming an admiration or achievement addict. I know that one very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only way through this is first of all, recognizing it. I mean, it's like, you know, I hate to sound like a 12-step, you know, alcoholic or something like that. But, you know, the truth is, you know, going through the process of recognizing what's happening, acknowledging it, talking about it, often with your wife or friends or family, and then asking for help, you know, in all kinds of ways, whether it's to a higher power, but specifically to asking for help from your friends to call you on your behavior. And
yeah.
This is going to be your kids and your wife. And that is, you know, it's your wife, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just, you know, didn't know.
Yeah, it's all good.
I thought it was wife, but you could not be married. It goes
many ways these days. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, what I find is that when I am open to being vulnerable to saying, this is something I want to fix in my life. And I ask for gentle reminders and support to help people, have people call me on it, but in a way that is not punitive. It does help create the shift in habits. And you got to figure out also what's the form of expressing it, like whether it's journaling, therapy, you know, singing, you know, I could be art form for me. I like writing. And so, that's a form, you know, running on the beach for me is a huge catalytic cathartic experience because I somehow I feel a lot when I do that. So that's your process. And otherwise, guess what? You won't change.
Right.
You will change the landscape, but you won't change fundamentally who you are. And at the end of the day, I think what the reason we're here on this earth is to be able to evolve our consciousness and who we are in ways that make us a better person. And if we are holding on to old behaviors or forms of distraction to not allow that kind of evolution to happen inside of ourselves, you'll be surprised at how stuck you'll be. And that's when you'll hit your midlife crisis.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. In the world of successful partnerships, names like Procter & Gamble, Ben & Jerry, and Supply and Demand echo through business history. But when it comes to growing your business, who are the perfect partners? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. We're talking from launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we hit $1 million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Picture this, a time when my business was facing a tough hurdle and I wasn't sure how to break through. But then came the breakthrough moment, a game changer that took my business to the next level. You know, what I absolutely adore about Shopify is its unparalleled ability to adapt and grow with your ambitions. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 75 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Darius, all lowercase. That's D-A-R-I-U-S. Go to shopify.com/Darius now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/Darius. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. Hey there, friends. It's Darius Mashazda here, and I have a little confession to make. You see, I've been battling allergies for years now, and let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Allergies have been my constant companion. They stop me from fully enjoying the little things in life, canceling plans with friends because of sudden allergy attack, to missing out on an outdoor activity because of sneezing fits. Allergies have been a real nuisance. Luckily, for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing and a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I've been a Claritin D user for many, many years now, and let me tell you, it's made a world of difference. Since I started using Claritin D, my symptoms have improved dramatically. Now, I can breathe easier, enjoy outdoor activities without worrying about sneezing fits, and truly live my life without being held back by allergies. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter now. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear, uses directed.
Yeah, I think I'm there.
I think you're supposed to come down to MEA. You're supposed to come down to the Modern Elder Academy.
So it's funny. When I stepped down as CEO of the company, and this was my choice, it was like everyone was shocked when I did it. My really good friend, his wife, Kate Shocks, she said, you know, you need to go check. She sends my wife a text, and it's a link to the Modern Elder Academy. She's like, Darius really needs to go to this. And so I check it out, and I hadn't realized that you had moved on to this project. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what Chip's doing. This is awesome. And then Joshua Abramson, who was a guy I mentored in EO, who I believe you know, He's telling me about it. And I was like, oh man, I do want to come down there.
Once, you know, it's obviously COVID times makes it harder. We have evolved MEA. So we're doing something called sabbatical sessions now, starting in October. But yeah, the whole point of MEA for me was to take my experience at Airbnb, where I realized that they started calling me the modern elder who was as curious as he is wise. And that, what I appreciated it, but initially I didn't. It's like, I'm not elderly, but elderly isn't, you know, elder is a relative term. I mean, if you're 52, as I was 8 years ago when I was there, and you're surrounded by 26-year-olds, you are an elder. But I was a modern elder, which is different than a traditional elder. And the modern elder is an intern and a mentor at the same time and is curious and wise at the same time. And so that helped me to see that there are a lot of people in midlife, which I define as 35 to 75, so it's a very broad range. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people in midlife who are feeling bewildered and a little bit irrelevant and have the opportunity to cultivate and harvest their wisdom and maybe repurpose it somewhere else, which is exactly what I did at Airbnb. And the program is not specifically just for people in their careers, but you know, a lot of people do come for that reason. They want to shift or pivot their career. They want to say what I call same seed, different soil. They want to actually plant their seed elsewhere. And so, yeah, it's been a fascinating experience. 750 alums from 24 countries now. It's been great.
Let's touch on that. Because we jumped straight into it. You were, you know, working with Brian and the founders of Airbnb. That's these guys grew tremendously, 200 yeah. to 7,500 people. That's in a very short period of time. That's a huge growth. And they had the luck of getting to work with someone like yourself that was really, you were a brick and mortar business and being a hotelier.
Right.
So that's very human intensive. And obviously tech is more, they're trying not to do that if they don't have to.
Yeah.
But right. Like the VCs punch you in the gut if you have too many people. Right. They want you to automate. But so how, walk us through, how did you end up deciding to move on to founding the MEA?
So I was originally supposed to just do 6 months with Brian and 15 hours a week, but within about a month, it was 70 hours a week. And it was like, okay, I'm doing a 4-year thing here. So I completely had to remake my life to make space for Airbnb in my life. And I did. And ultimately I decided I wanted to write a book out of that. After 4 years, I couldn't do more than 4 years. I just didn't want to. It was great. I loved it. And for 4 years now I've been an advisor, but, so when I left in early 2017, I decided I'd write this book called Wisdom at Work, The Making of a Modern Elder. And in the process of writing that book down in Southern Baja, about an hour north of Cabo San Lucas, where I had a home on the beach, I had this epiphany one day when I went for a run on the beach. And it was like, wow, why do we not have midlife wisdom schools? Why don't we have a place where people come to reimagine what's next for them and navigate the transitions of their midlife? And we don't have that. And I have to tell you, during the Great Recession, I had 5 friends, all men, commit suicide, 3 of them entrepreneurs. Wow. And I wished we had a program like this, because I do think that there are a lot of people in midlife who especially in COVID times, you know, not only do we have uncertainty, but we have an instability. And somebody pointed that out to me recently and said, you know, uncertainty is always there, but you can sort of take your own, a lot of times that's your own uncertainty and you marshal your resources. But instability is actually, is really scary, because you something that's maybe there's a political instability or a social instability or a health instability, you get to a place where it's like, you have no control over this. And so I think there are a lot of people right now are exceptionally bewildered. And in some cases, what it really is allowing for is the pause to take a step back and say, I'm going to reflect on this. What is it that I want to do with my life? Mm-hmm. And what am I here on earth to do? And that's obviously very cliche way to articulate it. And what we do at the Academy is exceptionally more deep than that. Right. But that's a question that a lot of people are asking right now. And it happens during 9/11. It happens during the Great Recession. It happens during these times, because once we get knocked off our treadmill after running, you know, running and just doing our normal default world thing, you take a step back and sort of say, you know, is this my wonderful life? You know, is this, you know, the David Byrne song? you know, this may not be the life that I was meant to have? And I think that that's such a hard question. And unfortunately for men, we are not as socially adept as women to address our vulnerabilities and even communicate about them. Right. And so that is another reason why a program like MEA exists. Although the majority of people who come to MEA are women, but it's still a lot of men, a lot of entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs who've either had a failure or have had a success, and they're not sure what to do with either one of those.
Yeah, and they're both different problems, right? One's less of a self-confidence issue, and it has its own self-confidence issues. And the other one is all self-confidence, and then you turn it around. But they're all complicated. And so, I went to last year in September. This is about 2 months before I resigned as CEO. I went for the first time to Esalen, and I did. You'll love this. I did a workshop with my forum, my EO forum. Called the Future of Masculinity. Mm. And it was really cool. But I'd never been to Esalen before. And what I had heard was that MEA is modeled after Esalen. Is that true?
Couple truisms there. So I've been teaching at Esalen for about 15 years. I was on the board for about 8, and the bookstore at Esalen is named after me. So I have a lot of affection for that place. Yeah. I was supposed to have my 60th birthday party there next month. Not going to happen. Yes, Esalen is. So Esalen was the first personal growth retreat center in the United States. It was actually modeled after ashrams and educational institutes in India, and started in a spectacular location, as you know, Darius, on the coast of Easter. And really, in many ways, was the catalyst for the personal growth, human potential movement, for better or for worse. Because in the 70s, it really became quite narcissistic, and there were a lot of elements that it got laughed at a lot. And Tom Wolfe wrote both a book and a Time magazine cover story on the Me Generation. Right. So, which is basically boomers. So when boomers are saying bad things about millennials these days, I say, listen, dudes, you were narcissistic and self-absorbed when you were that age as well. And I would just say, I actually think you're even more so, or we were more so as a generation, because actually I think millennials have a point of view that's more globally focused, around social justice and equity, that while no doubt boomers had a huge impact on a bunch of movements, women's movements, civil rights movement, bunch of movements, gay rights movement. But in many ways, it was very U.S. centric. And I think because our issues today are very way beyond the United States borders, I think it's interesting. But I would just say, yes, Esalen is a spectacular place to go to have some reflection time, although it is in the middle of a fire zone right now.
Right.
And we're in the midst of COVID, and I doubt it'll be open in the next month. Come on down to MEA. We are opening October 4th for these sabbatical sessions, but you have to come for 2 weeks minimum. You can read about it at sabbaticalsessions.com. And it is also a place for people to reflect. So there's a lot, very different environment physically, but a lot of similarities.
So when we talk about MEA and you guys, this whole idea is to bring in, and I went to, when I was going through, when I first left and it got introduced to me, I went in there and started seeing all these courses you could take, you could stay, and really number one, it's an amazing idea, because what's got me into the messy cocoon mode, I was meaning to say this, is that I have two young kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I watch, I know that they learn not by what I teach, but what I do mostly, right? And so if they're watching me lock myself in my office and work 15 hours a day, like every single day, or be distracted, I'm teaching them distraction. I'm teaching them to be workaholic, and I learned that by watching my father, who's an entrepreneur, be distracted to be a workaholic. And so I just said, I don't want to do that, right? And that's where it gets messy, right? Because now it's like, oh no. And then it's to your point, don't sit there and beat the crap out of yourself every single time you do it, because now I'm being a harsh critic to myself, and so when folks are coming down to MEA that are maybe a Darius, right? And they're all tangled up.
Yeah.
How do you guys approach that?
Well, there's a whole collection of things we do, but I'll give you a couple specific examples. First of all, a fundamental piece of our curriculum speaks to mindset. Carol Dweck's work from Stanford. So just for those who don't know it, you can either have a fixed or a growth mindset in varying degrees in various parts of your life. And if you have a fixed mindset, you tend to be focusing on proving yourself, and you define success as winning. If you have a growth mindset, you focus, instead of on proving yourself, you focus on improving yourself. And success is not defined by winning, it's defined by learning. Helping people move into a stage of their midlife and later where they get comfortable being a beginner's mind, not being perfect at things, being open to making mistakes, trying new things. That, you know, we help people learn how to surf down there. We learn, help sure. people learn how to bake bread together, how to do improv, how to write poetry, how to, you know, do yoga. I mean, there's a lot of elements that are sort of woven into the educational experience. Right. And so there's that. Additionally, we have an exercise called the Great Midlife Edit, because the first half of your life is about accumulating, and it's accumulating, you know, points of view that you got from your parents, your money script from your family, your sense of identity of who you are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All that knowledge, all those relationships, all those obligations. When you hit midlife, you are carrying a lot of baggage. And so what we help people to do is to see which of this baggage you want to keep holding on to and take with you, and what's ready to go. And we do an exercise that's, I can't tell you what we do, but it's a pretty powerful ritual. No one's walking on coals or anything like that. But it is a ritual, and it happens at sunset, and it's a pretty powerful ritual that helps people to start letting go and editing from their life what no longer serves them. And right. that process of opening up some space in your life by letting go of the things that aren't serving you anymore is really energizing, because you actually realize how much you've been holding. You know, if you're running the midlife marathon from age 35 to 75 with all that baggage you're carrying, no yeah. wonder you're exhausted. And so we sometimes call MEA a midlife pit stop, because you need a pit stop to refuel and regenerate and reimagine. And we don't really have formalized versions of that in society. And yet we have a world where we're living longer, power's moving younger, and the world is changing faster. And those three variables, if we don't solve for this, will lead to a growing number of people in midlife committing suicide, having, you know, death by despair, you know, drinking too much, opioid addiction, you name it. I mean, the evidence of this is right there in the healthcare statistics for the United States today. And it's part of the reason why, frankly, the United States is falling backwards. You know, it's the only developing country in the world where the longevity has actually gone backwards in the last 5 years. Not by a lot, but by a little. You know, the rest of the world, longevity is growing. And our longevity grew for a long time. Now we're at a stage as a society where it's not. And I, you know, the times we're going through right now, both politically and with COVID, et cetera, isn't helping at all. And sure. So, yeah, we have to make sense of this.
So when you think of, when was MEA founded? 2018?
Yeah, early January 2018.
Right. So MEA has been around now 2.5 years, a little over 2.5 years. And that's obviously very early in a business's life.
Yeah.
When you think of, you know, Modern Elder Academy in 10 years from now, how do you imagine it? What do you think of?
Well, there's a few different things. There's a paper, a white paper I've just finished with a Canadian professor who's an MEA alum that'll come out a week from this Monday. If you want to read it, just go to the Modern Elder Academy website and look for the Wisdom Well blog. And sign up as a subscriber. It's free, and then you'll get a daily email from me. And the one on September 21st, which is a Monday, 10 days from now, will be this paper, and it's called The Emergence of Long Life Learning. not lifelong learning, but long life learning, which is very different than lifelong learning. Lifelong learning you can do at age 25 or at age 75. But long life learning speaks to when you're hitting midlife and moving beyond, what are the elements that define how you learn and what's important to learn at that point? So my goal with that paper is to be a catalyst for there to be midlife wisdom schools all around the world. We may create 3 or 4 or 5 of them and call them Modern Elder Academy, but there'll be other social entrepreneurs and for-profit entrepreneurs, as well as academic institutions. We are getting a lot of colleges and universities calling us now and saying, we're up shit creek, guys. You know, we've lost half of our students for this fall. We were already in a bad place financially before this. Mm-hmm. We need to rethink how we're going to use our campus. You know, would you like to look at how we can partner? So our goal really, and then the big coup de grace of all this is to create MEA regenerative communities, which we're doing in Baja right now. So you have in the center, instead of having a golf course in the center of a retirement community, you have a regenerative farm. So with all the best organic principles around farming, you have an MEA campus, a midlife wisdom school, and then you build housing around that. And the housing around that is for people who want to buy into this lifestyle as their primary or secondary home. And for people for whom it's a secondary home, they put their home in the rental pool. And we have people who are coming for sabbaticals or gap years who just want to come and be part of this wisdom school. And long story short is you built, in essence, an intentional community that's not quite as hippy-dippy as the ones that were built in the 1970s. Right. And so we are looking at locations in about 5 different places in the United States right now to do that. And raising money to do that. So there's a lot there. At the same time, there's this little voice in my head that says, okay, this is a social enterprise. I don't pay myself anything. I built the campus in Baja for free. And let's just enjoy it. You know, this is back to the Chip and Darius story. Like, okay, yes, I'm in a new landscape because I don't make any money doing this. And it's totally focused on the bigger society need, but I still have such of that driven energy and trying to tell the difference between what's a calling and what's workaholism is sometimes hard for me. The way I wrote about this in my book, Emotional Equations, I think the difference is when your workaholism is a purposeful distraction and the driven nature of it is unrelenting. And when you aren't in the state of having that, it's hard for you to just engage in life.
Right.
Having a calling is different than that. So both of them have an obsessive quality to them.
Right.
There's a bit of a, in a workaholism situation, there's a bit of a, of course it's addictive and there's an element of compulsion. So there's a compulsiveness nature to it. Whereas in a calling, it's not so much compulsion as much as it is passion. And those are different energies, but they can be very mixed. I mean, you can be both living a calling and a workaholic, but you better be pretty conscious of this. You know, I know a lot of the people who listen are entrepreneurs here. You better be pretty conscious of like, what is it that is driving you right now? And is it the compulsion or is it the passion? And who can be your truth teller on this beyond yourself?
Right.
You know, because it's very hard to own up to workaholism, just like it's hard to live up or to own up to any kind of addiction.
Yeah, I love everything you just said. You're just my wheels are spinning so much right now. Yeah. So we have a mutual friend. I met you through Tony Lilios.
Yes.
And Tony introduced me to Stegan Academy. And I'm a graduate of that program. Mm-hmm. And the founder, Rand Stegan, has this whole ideology around long-termism.
I know him. Yes, I like him.
Yeah. And so you just had me thinking all about long-termism. And we had a guest on the show. I don't know if you know Rick Sapio, mm-hmm. Who's good friends with Rand. And he was talking about his core value of permanence. And how if you have this ideology around permanence and you're going to live a long time, what are you going to do in your life to make it where you're able to really have these traditions or these behaviors or these things that you're doing with permanence in mind and also with balance in mind. And it just really, like what you're doing with MEA, it just speaks to such an amazing thing. And I'm so excited for you guys. This is so
cool. Well, it's legacy building. And I do think that one of the things that we learn as we get into midlife and beyond is what's our legacy. And, you know, our children are our legacy, are the books that we write, you know, are our legacy, are the companies we start and the cultures we, and the core values that we create, and the kinds of employees who get introduced to that are our legacy. And for me, MEA feels very legacy driven. And now you have to be careful with legacy also, that it becomes a little bit ego driven. And so for me, I have to sometimes take a step back and just say, so as one of my co-founders says, Chip, can you move at the speed of collaboration or the speed of partnership? And what he really means by that is this that classic African proverb, which is, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Right. And I am naturally a go alone, go fast kind of person. And but I have learned how to become a pretty good collaborator over time. But when I'm in the startup mode, as MEA is a bit of a startup, damn, I have a hard time slowing down. Partly because I actually, so much of it's less compulsion. It's very passion. So I know it's more calling driven. And it's partly because I really can see the future. I can see what this is supposed to be 3 years from now. And I want us to get there even with all of the challenges of the pandemic and the economy as it is right now.
Wow. Well, I think we're out of time, man. And I promise you, I get you out of here in 45. So thank you so much. This has been like such a treat to have you. Can you, obviously we'll put in the comments where we can find you at the Modern Elder, the Modern Elder Academy. Is there anywhere else that we want to promote or things like that?
Wisdom, if you go to Wisdom Well, the Modern Elder Academy website, you'll find Wisdom Well, which is the daily blog. You know, people seem to love that because it's like a microdose of wisdom in email every morning from me or from one of our guest bloggers. I do tend to put a lot of my blogs on my LinkedIn profile. So that's another place to look for me. And there's also chipconley.com.
Great. Yeah, well, what a treat. So much gratitude having you here.
Yeah, thanks, Stuart.
Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you guys later. Peace.
You are listening to The Greatness Machine, and that's a wrap for today. Listen, if you love what you heard, subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform that you're tuning in on so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. We have tons of great people coming on, and we're stoked to have you here to enjoy it with us. Leave us a review. Tell us what you love most about this particular episode. We love getting the reviews. We love to see what you guys love most. And if this particular episode, you know, made you think of someone who's leveling up in their business and in their life, print screen, share it with them. Leaders are the best givers. And after all, we're all here to support and grow with each other. And in case you want to see some of the fun behind the scenes shots or some of the things that we're doing, I'm actually writing about this in my weekly newsletter. Go to www.therealdarius.com and subscribe to my newsletter. We're talking about fun things like business and life and mindfulness and cryptocurrencies and gosh, I don't even know, everything and anything, but it's tons of fun stuff I write about. I try to get it out on a weekly basis. You can subscribe at www.therealdarius.com. And with that said, look, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. I love you. Peace. We're out of here. See you guys on the next one. She's my lover.
Hey there. What's up, everybody? Darius here, and I'm here to tell you about my main man, Robert Glazer, and his amazing show, The Elevate Podcast. Robert is a buddy of mine, and his Elevate Podcast is second to none. So The Elevate Podcast, what is it? It's a conversational show where Robert sits down with world-class CEOs, New York Times best-selling authors, and the best thought leaders and performers in their fields. You're going to hear stories about triumph, failure, resilience, more importantly, all the learnings along the way. So some of his guests include James Clear from Atomic Habits, Angela Duckworth from Grit, Susan Cain, author of Quiet, Morning Brew founder and CEO Alex Lieberman, and hundreds more. Every episode shares valuable insights in how to expand your capabilities as a leader and align your life and work to your most important principles. Robert's goal is that you're going to leave each episode inspired and with plenty of next steps that you can put into practice into your life. And look, if you're looking to elevate your life, your leadership, and your business, Elevate is the show for you. It's like I always say, we as podcast listeners, we listen to 6 shows, not just mine, but Bob should be one of yours. Subscribe to the Elevate Podcast today on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Check it out.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.